This video is sponsored by New Masters Academy. New Masters Academy is an online educational website for artists. We offer a rigorous art education focusing on building fundamental art skills. New Masters Academy is affordable, a fraction of the cost of traditional art school. Our course library includes over 1,600 hours of video instruction. Our courses are taught by top professional artists and instructors with decades of experience in both the fine art and entertainment art fields. Every course is included with your subscription. All courses are available for unlimited streaming. Premium subscribers also get access to our art reference library of over 50,000 high-resolution images. Premium subscribers also get access to our revolutionary 3D art reference library. You can share your successes and struggles on our public forums, or interact live through our Discord channel. Get portfolio reviews, personalized learning plans, career advice, and more. Go to www.nma.art and start your 7-day free trial. You can use the coupon code ARTPROF at checkout to save 20% off your subscription.
Hello, everybody. Today, we are doing a draw-along focusing on tips for getting proportions in figure drawing. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at ArtProf: critiques, tutorials, and professional development. We do have many reference photos, and we're gonna start with this one up here at the top. You can download these, they are in the video description below, and we would love for all of you to draw along with us in any media and then post it in the Discord after the live stream. Kat, why do you think people have so much trouble with proportions on the human figure?
A lot of people have trouble with proportions in general, and it's not just reserved to the human figure, but the human figure is particularly tricky because it's tricky. It's such a weird form. And people will kind of instantly see if you get something wrong. If they can sense if something is a little bit off because, well, everyone is a person. And so they can recognize other people. And it's just really hard when you have that scrutiny as well.
It's a lot of baggage because you don't have to be an artist to recognize when something is off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may not be able to explain what's off, but you can sense when something's a little wonky.
Right. Why do you think
so, Kat,
Clara?
I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of these measurements that people try to use. For example, have you heard the whole measurement that, the human figure is 7.5 heads tall? So if you took 7 of your heads and added a half and then stack them on top of each other, in theory, I should have the exact height of your body. But I don't think it works that way. What do you think of those systems?
I think it's a load of baloney.
So good. I don't have to fight you during the stream.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, no one's ever going to be exactly 7.5 heads tall. It really depends on the kind of person you're drawing. There are short people, there are tall people, there are children, which is a completely different set of proportions. It's just not a good way to measure people. There's no one rule that applies to every single person on Earth.
And also, I think if you use one of those measurement systems, I went to a grad school where we had dividers and rulers, and we were told measure 7/32 of a head because that will give you the length of the tricep. And I think that gets people to not look. I think they say, because I'm doing the measurements, I don't have to look that carefully. I know because I did the measurements that it must be correct. But I think that's sort of dangerous.
Yeah, I always have thoughts about people who approach art and drawing with just cold measurements. because I don't think it's as simple as just numbers. Just figure drawing, again, as I said, each person is different. How are you going to know that whatever head measurement will match the forearm or whatever? It's not that black and white.
So I'm curious how many people here in the chat were taught some type of measuring system, because have you seen those charts where there's 5,000 lines on the face to measure, okay, distance between the eye and the nose, distance from the nose to the cheekbone. And I'm like, this is too much work. I'd rather just look.
Right, right. Same. I'm more of like just a look kind of person.
But you know what? I know why people don't want to look, because it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It takes practice.
Brittany says, I had to do self-portrait in my college drawing class using the measurement system, and it did not look like me. I had to go against the requirements to make it look like me. Not surprised. Studio Tindril says, the best you can do with those kinds of measurements is an approximation. Yeah. Kat, there actually is one measurement that I do just with my eye. And the measurement, I would say, well, let me just draw a quick chart. That's probably not going to be proportional, but this will be the best way for me to describe it. So if this is the rib cage and we have the center line, here are my clavicles. If you don't know what I'm talking about, shame on you. You didn't do your anatomy homework. Did you take anatomy in art school, Kat?
I did, but I don't remember anything from it.
Why?
I just rely on looking. I mean, I don't need to know the names of every single muscle and bone to be able to draw a good human figure. I do kind of just...
No, that's true.
Yeah, I need to just get a good sense of the human figure, and that's all I really needed.
Okay, so Kat, I'm curious if you've heard this one before. So on the human figure on the front, all right, we have the center line, and then on the pelvis, which I guess if I were to approximate it, it looks like this. There's a bone here, and it's called the symphysis pubis. And on your average person, does not apply to everybody. If you have a standing figure that's standing upright, this, generally speaking, is usually the midpoint. So what that means is the distance from the top of the head to the symphysis pubis, and the distance from the symphysis pubis to the feet are equal. I just eyeball it. I don't actually measure. If I'm doing a standing figure, that does help me a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think that's a good point of reference. I have never expressed it in words. Drawn it a bunch of times, but that seems about right. Actually, what's interesting is that a lot of people, when they do figure drawing, I always feel people draw the crotch not in the right spot. Like it's too high or it's too low.
It's always too high. It's rarely too low. You know why? Because I think they think the genitalia is higher, but it's not. It's always lower.
Or maybe it just looks low because they've drawn their legs too short or something like that. Because figure drawing is all about proportion and comparing to other body parts. Like you can't just draw a leg. You have to see where that leg is compared to where the head is. Like in this drawing, I know that there's like this distance right here between the chin and the knee. So I know that if that distance looks a little bit wonky, then I know I've gotten something wrong, either the head or the leg or something.
Okay, now on the back of the figure, you also have a midpoint and it is halfway up the crease of the backside. So if you have a back view, you can eyeball that. That's the only measurement I use. The other is pure observation. I just think everything else is too much work.
Yeah, I agree. And also when you're in a real figure drawing session, usually they're timed, and the shorter times, like 30 second or 1 minute or 2 minute to 5 minutes, you're not going to have time to measure every single thing. You're going to just have to wing it. You can't think about every single anatomical detail. So long as you get, like, what is it called? The symphysis pubis bone exactly. And you know where the spine is, and you know that the head is not too big, not too small. Just go for it.
You can call it the pubic bone.
Okay, thank you.
So Kat, if we look at this pose, and by the way, thank you, Robert Mapplethorpe, for all the male nudes. If it weren't for Robert Mapplethorpe, I don't know what I would do for reference photos. Anyway, what are some of the relationships that you're looking for in this pose? Because for me, I'm looking at the top of the deltoid, which is there, and I'm noticing it's at the same height as the knee. So that's a comparison that I'm making. Are there others that you are seeing that are helping you?
Oh man, now that you mention it, I'm like, oh shoot, I think the shoulder's a little bit too low. Oh my.
Busted.
Dang, okay. I honestly just went for it. I think I literally started with the head and I drew everything in relation to the head. So I then drew like the arm and then the knee and the leg. And then I saw how it was in proportion to the head. So usually I just choose one point and then I compare everything to that point.
Is it usually the head, or does it depend on the pose for you, what you pick?
This is a bad habit of mine. I usually pick the head. Most people pick the head. When they're drawing, figure drawing, they'll just start with the head. But, you know, I think you should find some sort of landmark that can clearly help you. In my case, it was the head. But for Clara's case, it's the deltoid, wasn't it?
Well, that was just a measurement. I usually start with the torso, mm-hmm. and I block that in because it's in the middle of the figure. And so if you get the torso, it's much easier to locate the limbs and the arms because they're all connected to the torso, whereas the mm-hmm. head is only connected to the neck.
Right. I once took a figure drawing class that was less focused on anatomical correctness and more about just the style and the art style, I guess. But something interesting the teacher mentioned was that you should start a figure drawing with the body part that's physically closest to you and then see what kind of interesting drawing you can make from that. So for some of the students, it was the feet because they were sitting at the model's feet. And for other people, it was the torso because they were farther back and the biggest thing they could see was the torso right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't say that you will get anatomically correct drawings from that, but you will get some really cool looking drawings.
I mean, I think the important thing, those of you who are trying to improve on proportions, just try a bunch of different methods. See what works for you. Mm-hmm. All right, Kat, you ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah.
All right, cool. While you get up the reference photo, I'm going to take a look at the chat. Katya says, measuring reminds me of the dreadful grid method. It stops you from seeing the figure as a whole. Yeah, it's almost like paint by numbers. If you fill this in with this color, it's going to look good. Baperistic says, I'm really into muscled figures. It might very well be an attraction for me, TMI. And I enjoy drawing them as well. The well-defined shapes of muscles are easy guides for me as well. Yeah, I mean, you should obviously ultimately draw the figures that you want to draw, but I do think it's necessary to draw people of all different sizes and shapes. What's your take on that, Kat?
I think it's good to start out with muscular figures. As that person put it, they like muscular figures, but there is an actual thing there that you can learn, which is seeing the muscles clearly and not having it be so, it's more exaggerated, I guess, and not so blocked by fat. So you can see some of like the undertones and the structure of the figure. But then afterwards, it's really important to draw figures that are not just what you would typically see, because you want to draw people in the end, and people come in all shapes and sizes and forms. So definitely go out and draw different kinds of body parts, body types.
Well, Kat, I imagine as a comics artist, you can't have everyone in your comics be muscular and athletic looking. That just is not accurate.
Yeah. And honestly, it gets kind of boring for a while having to draw the same kind of body type and face for everyone.
And by the way,
some people love drawing the same thing over and over again. You know, that's to each their own, to each their own.
When I got the reference photos for this stream, we were going to just do male nudes. They were hard to get because I had to get figures that had nothing cropped, which is actually hard because a lot of photographs do crop an arm and a leg there. And Kat looks at them and she's like, can we get some more different types of bodies? Because these are all really trim, muscular, lean figures. I was like, Kat, you don't want to Google fat nude body. Just don't. I did and I regret it. It went to a scary place.
My condolences.
So yes, it can be very hard to get good references in certain circumstances, but...
Right. Actually, this was something I was talking to my friends about, how we always got the same kind of figure model for every single session. Usually they were like a middle-aged white man or woman. Mm-hmm. And it was very rare to get somebody like really old or much younger, and a person of color as well.
Oh, we never had a person of color as a model. When I was in art school, I don't think I can remember a single one. Maybe there was. I don't know. I feel like I totally don't remember. I mean, we had a model that was 85, and that was amazing. I loved that. That sounds
really cool, actually.
Oh, it was. It was amazing.
Yeah, when I was a student at art school, I remember there were just two models of color tops. And it was actually like people really wanted those models because when else are you going to be able to draw a person of color in a figure modeling session? But usually those models went to like the freshman students because apparently they had first dibs.
No, they didn't.
Did they not?
That's so not true. That's not true.
Okay. I don't know who had first dibs, but.
Nobody did.
Okay.
I know this. I was on the inside, Kat, when it came to the models at Lucy.
Good.
So, Kat, why do you think I felt so strongly about getting reference photos that are full figures with nothing cropped? And why you and I are drawing full figures with nothing cropped? Why would that help with proportions?
Because proportion is all about referencing back to other things. So we need the full human body to be able to draw the full human body. To draw one thing correctly, you need the other things in comparison. I think actually Jordan's 2500 challenge serves for good drawing practice, and it will help you draw individual body parts well. But I think the problem with that challenge is how do you piece it together from then on, which is why it's right. Really important. You need to have those full model figure drawing sessions.
Well, and so Kat, when I was in art school, I got away with not drawing heads on my figures for a couple of years. Nobody ever called me out on it. And then senior year, got nailed. And I couldn't do it. It was really hard for me. So it's confession time. Tell us in the chat, who here skips out on body parts and draws partial figures with no hands or feet because, oh, I ran out of time. So Kat, I'm trying to line up. Do you see this crease between the thigh and the calf muscle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at how the elbow is a little bit lower because I'm already seeing my elbow's too high. So based on where this crease is, I'm going to move my elbow down. So there right. already, that's a really simple relationship to say, okay, where is the elbow compared to that crease?
I think, yeah, I'm like, you know, what really helps is stepping back to look at your figure drawing. And I actually looked up from my drawing to look at this, the streaming screen, and I'm realizing my foot is too small after looking at it from afar. So I'm going to have to fix that.
Why do you think it's easier to notice that from a distance?
When you're up close, you tend to just, you can't see it from afar. it's harder to compare things to the bigger picture. So when I was drawing it up close, I thought, oh, this foot in comparison like to the butt, I think this is like about right, right? But in fact, I didn't see that the foot was too small because I was too zoomed up looking at it.
Yeah, because usually if you're really up close to your drawing, you're only seeing a piece of the figure. You're just looking at that one spot. And then when you get further back, you can see the whole thing. And then you start to see relationships. So mm-hmm. my recommendation, if you're drawing the figure, every 10 minutes or so, get up and look at it from a distance. And you'll just be like shocked. You'll be like, oh my God, why did I not see that? And then it's just clear as day when you step back.
On another note, something that I would recommend people to do on their figure drawings is to draw the cast shadow or where the body touches some sort of object or the floor, because part of figure drawing is drawing the weight of the body, and it's really hard to show that unless you ground them in space. So as you can see in my last figure drawing, I drew the chair that the man was sitting on, and now currently I'm drawing the cast shadow on the ground.
I'm gonna do that too. Actually, that really helps. I've never done that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never bother with the shadow, I guess, because I'm always like, figure, but that actually like really made a big difference.
That was one of the first things I was told to do while figure drawing. I think I got that from the summer program that I attended when I was like 16, and I guess it just stuck with me.
Well, it only took me 5 seconds to do, and it's like all of a sudden I have instant gravity.
You're welcome.
We have a comment from Brian who says, sometimes I stand in my chair and look down at my paper just to see the bigger picture. Yeah, whatever you can do to get that physical distance, it's really helpful.
I've absolutely done that too.
Cosmo Life says, I think the constant observation and looking at the subject really helps. It helps to notice where you need to correct things and where things are too big and too small. Yeah, and if you're relying on 7.5 heads, you're not going to look that carefully because you say to yourself, oh, well, I measured it. Must be right.
I still think that foot is too small. What am I doing?
Oh, man. I just did what you did. I just looked at my drawing on the stream and look at how I compressed the torso. Do you see that?
Yeah, it's but I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, come on. It's so short. It's got to be like, I think the head should be like going off the page. What the heck? Kat?
I don't know if I should like have said anything.
Well, now I know I can't rely on you in an emergency situation.
Sorry. I'll do it from now on. I don't want to be that like brat about it.
So,
did anybody else in the chat notice that it was super compressed?
Shut up! I think you were all snickering at me. You were all having a good chuckle on my behalf. That's okay. As long as you're learning.
Something I was also thinking about was like the camera angle that you might have might make it look a little bit tilted, and that would make a huge difference in your drawing when, you know, streaming.
I pulled him up too much. Like, I need to like smush him down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the leg is not bent enough.
Right. But then again, if we saw this drawing at an angle, it would look kind of like that, you know, to us because of the camera. I was just saying maybe it might also have been the camera.
Well, this is where I wish I had Procreate and I could just stretch it.
Lisa says, so another trick is look at your drawing on screen during live stream. Actually, you know what's another trick you could do that's kind of similar is just take a picture of your drawing and look at it.
I've done that a bunch of times. It's really helpful.
Right.
All right. So, Kat, another thing that I'm looking at, do you see the backside on the left? I'm looking at how that lines up. Ooh, I didn't do it. My leg's not far enough. See, it's supposed to line up with the back of the foot, but you can see my foot is too far to the right, which tells me I got to move my foot further out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like those little things. And then I talked earlier about the elbow and here. Oh, and actually the hand down here at the bottom. The head is a little bit further to the right. So I'm looking at that relationship as well.
Right. Actually, when looking at this figure, I was thinking a lot of people might not be able to draw this huge curve of the spine because that's really hard to compare and contrast with the other body parts. Like with the butt and the foot, there's that comparison. With the hand and the head, there's that comparison as well. But it's a little bit harder when there's this like huge curve up here and you're not sure what else to compare it to.
I guess, yeah, you're right. Because I guess I would think, okay, well, where's this? But then there isn't anything to compare the height of the back, right?
Right. I don't know. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at mine and I feel like mine is too curved when comparing it to the head, just a little bit too curved. And then another thing you can look at is if I zoom up, like how big of a distance is it from here to here versus here to here? Maybe that can help.
All right, I'm ready to move on to the next one. How about you?
Yeah, same.
Cool.
I don't know which one I want to do.
Oh, this is a good tip from Seven Angelic who says, or looking at it upside down. And another thing I do is I'll look at it in a mirror because it totally messes with your eyes when you see it reflected in a mirror.
Mm-hmm. I've chosen this one. I think this one's a little bit tricky with the face. Anytime there's a face that's included, always gets a little bit trickier for me because I think people then get worried about the likeness of the person.
Oh yeah, for sure. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a question from Angie. Does it count if you don't see the body parts, like feet or hands, from your perspective while drawing? I've been in figure drawing classes and can't observe feet and hands. Well, isn't that convenient, Angie? Well, here's the thing. Yes, there are going to be poses, and we're going to do a few today, where parts of the figure are obscured. And you can't do anything about that. You have to just work with what you've got. But you know what helps me, Kat? So I'll demo this right now. I'm starting with the torso. And poses like this are a pain in the butt because all the limbs are like crisscrossing over each other. So one thing that I do is I don't try to draw the limbs around each other. I draw through them. So for example, this leg in the back, here's the knee. And I'm going to just draw the leg right through the other leg. And that, I think, is way easier than trying to draw a leg around a leg.
That's a great tip. I'm very used to actually drawing figure drawing with pen, so I don't usually do that, drawing a leg through another leg. But I think that's a great
tip.
People should try it. Yeah. Actually, how about I redraw this and I draw this like I would with a pen? I don't erase. I just use 100% opacity brush and I just draw like I would with a pen.
That's so unusual. I feel like most people learn figure drawing with charcoal or pencil. How come you learned it with pen?
It was actually in that same class as the one I mentioned earlier about more artistic figure drawing rather than anatomical correctness. The one where the teacher said, just draw the body part that's the closest to you. He had us draw with pens one time and they just made for really cool drawings, even if they weren't the most accurate. So another thing I'm doing with this is just drawing with one line. I guess that's just another thing I tend to do with pen.
Drawing continuously?
Just one line, yeah.
I don't do it as specifically as you do, but I think if all of you notice the way that I draw, I don't lift up my crown very much. Like a lot of people, have you seen a lot of people in figure drawing that they do like this very choppy line?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just too much work. It's all about being lazier.
Yeah. I also feel like that shows you're not as sure with your mark. Just put down a continuous line.
Well, I think for me, it's about getting flow with my mark, so it's not so broken up into a million pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, rats, I totally messed up. This thigh is like way too short. Now I gotta move the foot like, it's all the way down here. Also, Kat, I've noticed from teaching figure drawing throughout the years, a lot of the reason people have trouble with proportions, honestly, is because they don't want to fix stuff.
Now that you mention it, I feel like some people, they draw a foot and they're like, oh my God, this foot is so beautiful. I don't want to erase it for fear of not having a beautiful foot, but what use is that beautiful foot if it's not in proportion with the rest of the body?
I mean, assuming that's your goal for figure drawing. But yeah, because I think some people, they'll do what I did, like they'll put the foot in this funky place, but then go, oh, that's so much work to have to fix that. And then when I fix that, I got to fix these three other things. And so a lot of it is not catching your proportional issues early and then not taking the initiative to fix it. It's a lot. It's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like, Kat? It's what? Like the artprof.org website. Because for the longest time, I was just tweaking and tweaking and the boat just kept sinking. And when Dee, our incredible volunteer designer, talked to me, they were like, Clara, just gotta scrap it and start again. And I'm like, no. Even though I knew they were right.
Yeah, but see, it hurts now, but it saves you a lot more time down the road.
Yeah.
It's all about looking at the bigger picture. But anyways, I'm done with my quote unquote pen figure drawing. So that's usually how my pen figure drawings would look, with just one line. And sometimes I'll just leave it because I don't have time to draw anything else. But this time I'll go back in, maybe with a different color, and draw anything else I'm missing. Like the head proportion is kind of weird. Again, going back in with one line.
Oh, this pose is rough. Is this just me?
Just have fun with it, Clara.
Oh, shut up. Oh. Kat, help! Kat, I can't even take my own advice. It's terrible. Have you noticed it's way easier to give advice than to take it?
Oh, absolutely. Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. Because you know what? Sometimes if I'm having a hard time with a project, which is all the time, I'll like whine to my husband in the evening. He's the only one that gets all the whining. And I'll say, this isn't working. And oh my God. And he says, well, what would you say if one of your students said that to you? And I'm like, well, I'd tell them this, this, and this. He's like, well, do that. I'm like, but that's hard. Maria says,
sorry, go ahead.
In photos like that, where the body is more, quote, folded in, the first thing I would do is make a light, quote, overall shape of the whole figure together. Then I know when I can start dividing limbs. Oh, it's all about those big shapes. You can't start and go arm by arm.
Mm-hmm. One thing that annoys me when I see figure drawings is if somebody leaves the head completely blank, or in my opinion, even worse than that, is you see a head and you just see a cross where the eyes are supposed to be.
This, like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Like,
that's it.
Couldn't you like have put in a hint of the eyes or the nose or the mouth? Because just those landmarks show how that head is in space.
Well, so I'm really glad you brought that up, Kat, because a lot of people have trouble if they're doing a fairly fast figure drawing and there's not really time to draw the face. On the other hand, you don't really want to just do nothing. Mm-hmm. My problem with this as the head, like, how does that relate to the anatomy?
Mm-hmm.
How? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Like, if I just draw a little head anatomy thing, like really simply, you have a mandible, which comes down, you have the cheekbone, which is the zygomatic arch, you have the eye sockets. Whoa, that is not in proportion. You have the nasal bone, you have the other cheekbone, the teeth. This is not anatomically correct. And then the ear is not on the skull, but it connects to the cheekbone. So, if there's anything you want to draw face-wise on the figure, in my opinion, it's the ridge of the nasal bone, the brow to show a little bit of the eye socket, maybe a slight indication of the mouth, a little bit of the cheekbones, definitely the ear. The ear is so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Ear.
And then some more information on the hair. It's too small. Crap. Shoot. Can't do this. Can't help. All right, so this is a little bit. I have to move the nose way up. I think the nose is more. Or maybe I'll draw, like, Kat, do you see that little, like.
Just look at the hand on the face and where that thumb is in relation to the nose and the mouth.
Oh,
you have your thumb on the chin.
I know. Is the hand too small?
I think it is. The head is too tall and your torso is too long.
This is like domino effect. Your foot's too long, your eye's too wide, your eyelash is too small.
Okay.
Such a mess. But, Kat, I'm gonna push through. I'm not gonna rest on my laurels.
Yeah. Actually, what's interesting is seeing people improve their figure drawing the longer they work on it. I actually have a friend who is an oil painter, and when she starts her original sketch, I'm like, that looks nothing like the person. You got the proportions all wrong. But then the more she works on it, the more she just starts to like change things. It's sort of like the liquify tool on Photoshop. Like she starts like pushing things around with the paint and it starts to look a lot more like the person. I'm like, wow, that's like really cool. Some people have just like different processes. Some people just have to like put down a mark, even if it is wrong, and then they'll like correct it as they go.
Oh, I would much rather just throw down crummy marks and fix it. I think that's way faster than trying to like nail it. Oh, this is such a wreck. Now I had to move the head all the way to the right because I didn't have space for the mouth. But then that's like moving all the hair, and now the head's too big.
Oh.
Oh my God. Basically, what we're telling all of you right now is it never ends. The proportion stuff, it's constant tweaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think, Kat, there's any point where you're like, okay, the proportions are done?
No, I tend to have to, I'm forced to move on. Or honestly, just like, let it go. You're not going to get it completely perfect. You're not a camera. Just make it to the point where it's like a believable person.
Oh my God, Kat, one time.
Yeah.
So I used to play in the Brown Orchestra when I was a RISD student, because I play the oboe, in case anybody's wondering. And we were playing The Planets by Holst. And there was this one stupid, we could not play it. It was so bad. And I remember the conductor just said, maybe if we leave it alone, it'll get better. But sometimes I think that actually does work.
Yeah. I think it does work. Oh, another thing, we were talking about eyes and nose and mouth for the face and the ears, of course. But another thing is that I hope people don't leave out the fingers and the toes of someone.
Yes.
Because that the hand itself is such an expressive form that you need to give some sort of hint of the fingers and how that hand is functioning in space. And for the toes, I think that's just like a good, also like showing how the feet works. The foot itself, again, is its own form. You should put in the toes. I really hate it when people just like put a vague silhouette of the feet. I mean, sometimes you're forced to do that. Like I do that all the time when the time crunch is rough. But if you can put in those like little digits, do so, because they are very expressive.
Or just try.
Yeah.
Because you know what makes me crazy is when people just say, oh, I need to draw a hand. And I'm like, you didn't draw the hand. You thought to yourself, I'm going to draw an ellipse. Like that has nothing to do with you observing the hand. And like, I'd rather see a hand that's a disaster where somebody really tried to draw it than somebody just saying, oh, I need a head. And then they just draw a golf ball. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I say like, oh, I hate this and this drives me crazy or whatever. But like, I understand also when there's a time crunch and sometimes you can literally just do a stick figure in the amount of time you're given. And that's fine. That's fine. Don't beat yourself over it.
Ariel says, figure drawing seems like it becomes a regular practice like running or playing an instrument. Do you think that's accurate, Cal?
Absolutely. I do think it's accurate. Makes me think, oh, I should do more figure drawing.
Well, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Kat is like an amazing pianist.
Thank you, Clara. It's been years since I touched the piano, though.
Yeah, but you're really good. You're not just like I played the piano. You're like really good.
Mm. And you're amazing on the oboe.
Nah, I'm not that good. I'm okay.
You can't just like compliment me and not accept your own compliment.
Well, we were talking about this before the stream. I really have trouble taking compliments. It's hard for me. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, we were talking about this before the stream about how difficult it is to take compliments. It could be our background, like how we were brought up, because not a lot of people in my family compliment each other. That's just words of affirmation is not our love language, clearly.
I'm curious from people in the chat, how many people here feel uncomfortable when you get a compliment about your art? Because I don't know what to do with it sometimes. I'm like, thanks. Like I just feel very awkward about it.
Clara, are you ready to move on to the next figure?
Yes, please.
Okay.
You don't like this figure. It's really hard.
Okay. I don't know. Let's see. Let's do a weirder one. Let's do this one.
Oh no.
Okay. You want to do this one?
No, we should do the hard one.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's my fault. I picked the reference photo.
Actually, now I'm going to try doing what I would normally do in charcoal, which is draw with like the powder first and then pick out the parts with an eraser. So I'm going to try that out.
So you're going to do digital the way that you would in theory do traditional?
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
I mean, do you usually see digital and traditional as like two different languages that you don't mix, or are they closer than that for you?
They are definitely different, but I think there are techniques you can learn in one and apply to the other. So I think it's easier to learn traditional and then apply some of that practice into digital rather than the other way around. If there's anything I learned from digital, it's just the amount of drawings I'm able to make, and it's a lot faster. So I can get, I guess, more practice in. There's also tricks like resizing stuff, finding the selection tool, selecting stuff and altering it. Because once I take that traditionally, I know I won't have that tricks anymore. So I'm really wary how often I use those resizing tools.
Do you think it's just that digital is just less forgiving?
Digital is way more forgiving.
I mean, no, I meant that. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah,
digital is more forgiving. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Digital is way more forgiving. I feel like then you can just practice certain skills with that. But I think the handling of traditional media is something you also need to experience. And anything you learn from that can also be somewhat applied digitally.
Oh, yikes. Oh, what happened to the arm? It just kept growing. Okay, I got to shorten the arm so much. But then I also think I have to lengthen the legs.
Oh, we have a comment from Angie. Clara, did you mean to pull that up?
Oh, I did. Sorry. I pulled it up and then I forgot to read it. Angie says, I relate. I don't know how to take compliments that well, and it makes me seem like a jerk. Fabio says, my mom is the only one that compliments my art. Well, that's her job. She's your mom. And Frogbeam says, it's so hard to accept it when you can see your errors. That's all I see. When I look at my drawings, I never see the stuff that looks good. Do you do that, Kat?
Yeah, I almost never see the stuff that looks good at first. I think once I take a break and I come back to it later, I'm like, yeah, that's not bad. I don't know what I was thought about before.
I can do that if the work is like 6 years old. I can go back and say, hey, I was pretty good back then.
That's fair. Yeah, that also happens. It has to age a little bit.
Or sometimes you go back and you're like, oh my God, I sucked. I was such a bad artist.
That may happen too.
All right, so Kat, this is where you end up with 8 pairs of legs. Do you see?
Funny.
But you know what though? Drawing the feet several times is helping me. I know it looks like a total disaster, but by drawing them several times over each other, it's easier for me to see the bigger shapes.
Hmm.
So who else is drawing along? I would like to know who else is suffering from this horrible foreshortened pose. I'm definitely going to use your cast shadow thing here.
Cool. Thanks for letting me know.
Oh my God. I'm going to use that all the time now. It's just, it's so nice when things just look so good with so little effort, you know?
Yeah.
Bibi says, I saw the pose and I put down my pencil. Awesome. Cool. Wow. A lot of people. Kira's drawing. Charisma says, I am and I hate it. Well, that makes the two of us because this pose is a nightmare. Oh, good. We have WC who says, I love getting compliments. Gives me all the attention. Well, okay. We have to subdivide this little cat because it's a little more complicated. Okay. I love compliments about Art Prof. Okay. That's the one place where I'm like, okay, lay it on. I'll take it all day. But when it's like my artwork, I don't know. It's like a different category. Does that make any sense?
Well, Art Prof is a lot of your work, Clara, but it's also the community and the teamwork, and it's suddenly a lot bigger than yourself. So I feel like when you accept a compliment about Art Prof, you can't just deny that because that compliment is applicable to a whole community. Yeah, and that might actually make it easier for you to accept. But then when it's you individually as a person, suddenly it's a lot harder to accept.
That must be it, because when I started Art Prof, I did think about it as a one-woman show. I was like, oh, it's like I have my own cooking show and I'm going to show people how to make things, except you can't eat them. But you know what? You realize really quickly, wow, I don't know how to teach a lot of things. I really need help from other people.
Yeah, that's actually one flaw I see in a lot of, well, I've scoured YouTube. I have been looking for art education channels, and a lot of them are headlined by one person. And I think that's a detriment because no one person will know all the art in the world. Even as a team at Art Prof, we have trouble covering a lot of the subjects because, hey, we're only like 5 or 6 people at a time.
Right.
And also our like community knows so much more than we do. It's great to be able to talk to everyone. And that's what makes art education.
Yeah. I mean, Kat, half the time on the live streams when I'm trying some material, because I did that stream, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on watercolor effects and techniques. And so I'm using all these mediums that I'd never used before. And I'm telling you, the audience was totally schooling me. They were like, oxgall fluid is this material. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I just love that.
Mm. I find just like teaching a classroom, you will learn a lot from your students. Like a brick and mortar classroom.
Yeah. So Kat, what are you holding on to for this drawing? Where are your anchor points that you're looking for?
I started out with this big thigh right here. I mean, it's the middle, it's the biggest thing, and I could compare everything else to that. And then afterwards, I think I just like pulled out some of the legs, and then from there I was able to draw the arms. I felt like the legs are truly the star of the show, and then the arms would be easier to draw once you have the legs down.
Oh, you know what would help me? I just, because I took a step back. Do you see this like almost pyramid shape?
Mm-hmm.
So I just noticed that my arm is too horizontal. It does have a slight tilt. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad I looked at that.
I feel like a lot of people might actually underestimate how big this thigh is, this one right here.
Yeah. But then it's also weird because the feet are like gigantic, and I think I made them way too small. Right?
Man, I'm wondering if I made mine too small too.
I think you did.
Yeah.
See, I help you, Kat. I don't just watch you drowning in the pond.
God, Clara, that was one time we were in the beginning of the video. I was worried.
Excuses. Yeah, it's... Well, so we do have a video about foreshortening. And one of the ways to deal with foreshortening is, number one, let it look weird, because it does look weird. But also, objects that are closer to you, like the feet, they're going to just feel bigger. So I just find that if I let them be bigger, I don't know, somehow it all works out. Like, if you try to draw it, quote unquote, accurately, it doesn't quite work.
Hmm.
Tor says, I just started getting back into drawing after taking a 25-year break. I have a drawing tablet and Krita. Does anyone have any advice for me? Kat, any thoughts?
I've never heard of Krita before.
Well, maybe just some digital tips, regardless of the software.
Well, I mean, something you could start out with is actually making a master copy of something. That's a good way to warm up with your new material. But other than that, I guess try to find the kind of art that makes you excited. For me, it's really narrative images and comics. And so obviously I would gravitate more towards that, even digitally and traditionally. But yeah, those are my tips for starting out. There's no way to start out, like one way to start out. Just start using the medium somehow.
Well, we do have a video where Deep D and Jordan do a digital master copy. So you could just look up Art Prof master copy, and I'm sure you can find that, because Jordan had this like super smart tip for getting started that of course I can't remember now, but it was awesome. But good for you, Tor, for coming back into it after 25 years. In fact, how many people here took a substantial break, like several years at least, from art and came back to it? And what was that like? Because I think a lot of people in our audience have done that. A lot of people are almost having this renaissance with themselves as artists.
Hmm.
John Murph is asking, would you rather have someone negatively criticize your artwork?
Well, it also depends on what kind of criticism. I don't want them to be mean to me.
What are you, like 8 years old?
Well, being mean to someone isn't constructive critique. I do want constructive critique. And if it's negative, if someone has to point out something that's wrong with my piece, then yes, that would be very much appreciated.
Well, I think we're all craving to know if it's working or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I released a 5-minute video today. It's about art cliches. And we had streamed it a long time ago as like a 45-minute conversation. But as some of you know, we're playing around with different formats and lengths of videos. And I will say, when I put it out, I was like, oh, I really want to know if people like this or not. And if they don't like it, I want to know why. And if it's going to serve our audience well. So I don't know that you ever don't want feedback. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that's even ruder to give somebody like unsubstantial feedback, even if it's positive. You need substance. Substance is the key here, because if you don't do that in the critique in the classroom, if you take that out into the real world, you're going to get all of that response times a billion. It's not going to be as like safe as a classroom environment anymore. So you want to know then if you're doing something wrong.
Also, Kat, have you ever gotten a totally useless comment from somebody that it made you mad? It was so useless.
I know some really useless comments in people's critiques, but like actually one critique that really bothers me to this day was about the first time I made my Changeling comic. And for those of you who don't know, I redid that comic. So it's like better and it's nice and it's on my website and everything. But I actually first came up with that story in sophomore year of art school. And it's a good story. It's a good story. And I guess the teacher wasn't used to talking about stories. She was more like an editorial illustration kind of person. And she was just going on and on about the fact that the man jumping from the window wasn't having enough room to jump from. And I was like, you're going to put on this little panel out of the 18 pages I drew?
Really? That's your feedback?
I was upset after that critique. I was like, she focused on the wrong things. And I don't completely blame her. She's not used to talking about sequential art. But what about you, Claire? Do you have a fond memory?
I don't. It's an annoying memory. And it was not a teacher. It was actually a curator who had come to my studio. And when you get a studio visit, that's sort of a big deal. That means you're on the cusp. It means they really are seriously thinking about you for a show. Because, I mean, if you're going to bother to drive to somebody's studio and look at the work, I mean, it's usually a very, very good sign. So I was all excited. And so this curator comes over, and I'd set up this huge sculpture installation that I had done for my thesis project. And it took so long to set up in my house. Whatever, that's not their fault. But then the curator comes into the room, takes one step, and just looks at me and says, I don't care for this at all. That was it! And then she was like, okay, let's look at the other work. I'm like, what?
I've heard this story before. It's still like frustrates me every time I hear it.
It's so annoying. And I mean, people complain all the time about not getting effective critiques, and I get that, but it's like you don't realize the range of totally useless critiques are out there. All right, Kat, I think I'm ready to do the next pose.
Okay.
So tell me what's up next. Hopefully one that's not as challenging.
They're all human beings are challenging, Claire.
Thanks. I'm so happy.
I mean, this one?
That one's too symmetrical.
Okay. This one?
That one. Let's do that one. That's a good one.
Okay. Oops.
Joe Nowhere says, I almost chickened out on this pose. I mean, I'm glad I didn't. It's my first time to draw along live. Well, that's fabulous, Joe. And I hope that you're in our Discord so we can take a look after the stream. So Kat, with this pose, there's a ton of foreshortening in the torso. But I'm wondering what you think about parts of the body that we know to be symmetrical. So for example, shoulders, we know for the most part on your average person, they tend to be symmetrical, but you can't always rely on that in figure drawing, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think it's fair to call anything completely symmetrical. And on that line, I want to add that there are no straight lines in the human figure. There are all little curves and little shapes and little nuances. There's never like a straight line. But, well, in this case, well, we would assume that shoulders would be like a pretty, like the most symmetrical part about a person's body for some people. And then being able to see how the shoulders tilt or turn, that's a really good indicator of how the body is turning. So in this case, there is still like, it's still somewhat symmetrical, but you can kind of see that the shoulder to our left goes out, but the torso goes in. So just like comparing these parts of the body would really help in drawing the whole figure.
Well, what I'm noticing, Kat, and I think I do this a lot, sometimes I just even things out on my own. Not because they are, but I just do it. And so I did that to the head. So if you look at my drawing right now, I put the head right down the center and the shoulders are the same width, but it's not like that. His head is actually way further to the left. So you have to catch yourself for straightening and evening things out. Because he's got way more shoulder on the right-hand side, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this pose is not as hard as the last one because it's not as strange looking, but it's weird because there's foreshortening on the right leg on the knee, and then that almost makes the leg on the left look too long.
I don't know. I almost prefer the other pose because it's so out there. That's not what a normal, like what people typically think of for a figure drawing pose. That if I made the feet a little too small or if the arm was a little bit wonky, I don't think anybody could have like pinned me down for that. But this now has to be a little bit more accurate. This is just clearly a man kneeling.
Oh my gosh. I made this leg way too long. I think the foot was too big. I gotta change that. Also, this leg is weird. The foreshortening.
Sometimes I get surprised. Like I forget how long people's arms are. Long leg is. Oh my gosh. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is if somebody is drawing a person. Let's say this is a person, right?
I love it.
But normally and these are knees, the hands would hit somewhere between the middle of the thigh. And yeah, then yeah. It's like my biggest pet peeve when people like they slip up, they mess up a little bit or something, but then the arms end up like too short, like it reaches only the hips.
Kat, I think we should put that drawing on the thumbnail for this video.
I guess.
How to draw proportions. That'll make everybody click.
Yeah.
Well, I think the torso, I think it's bigger than I think it is.
Ooh.
Because it is so foreshortened, he's leaning forward so much that you can see the clavicles really clearly.
I want to pull up this great comment by Ariel that says there's a lot of very interesting negative space in this pose that might be good anchors. Yes. Oops.
I feel like if we had a live audience, they would have all gone, like when Ariel said that.
Yeah. Clara, I think your legs are too big.
Or my upper torso is too small.
But then if you fix your upper torso, you have to like fix the head and the shoulders. Like look at where the knee lines up with the shoulder.
This knee?
Yeah.
Oh no, you know what? The arm is all the way out here. Or the knee should be further in.
Maybe right, so like either make here. The legs smaller or the shoulders bigger.
Well, but see, you do have to do that with anatomy. You have to pick. Like, you have to say, well, I can either shrink the head or I can make the torso bigger. And you just have to choose, okay, which is the one that is the least amount of work. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Kat, can you say something about how to draw fingers when it's so short of a drawing?
You don't have to draw every single finger. Sometimes just like two fingers will be fine. Like just have an indication where is the thumb and then like a vague indication of the other four. Unless that figure is like pointing or something, and then of course you would like indicate the pointer finger. Let me see if I can have an example on here. You see that? Yeah, okay. So do you see that hand on the left? I'm going to draw it really quick, like how I would draw it on a like a very fast drawing. See, that's like about the amount I would draw if I was super pressed for time.
Mm-hmm. I think with a hand, if you just get the thumb down, that's like half the battle.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The rest of it is, I mean, it's cool, but I think people get very fixated on the other four fingers when really those four fingers are not that helpful.
Mm-hmm. Thumb.
Ooh, cat, look, cat what? Shadow.
Oh, good job.
Yay! Oh my god, it's so easy. Look at that, it's like magic.
Free.
Kat, you didn't do the deep thing where, what is it she says? She always says,
the student becomes
the teacher.
Yeah. I'm like, I think about it from time to time, but then I've decided like that deep D's catchphrase. I don't want to like steal that from deep D.
Oh, come on. You guys love giving me my own advice.
Mayhaps.
It's like Lauren's favorite pastime.
Oh man.
What tough. Now? Are you complaining?
It's tough.
Miriam says, I just can't draw fingers. Don't think about them as fingers. That's the problem. Actually, I think when I'm drawing a hand, I rely a lot on this plane and the knuckles. If you get the plane of this and the knuckles, you're halfway there. It's really not about fingers. People think it is because that's what we notice. But really, the fingers are not what it's all about. It's the structural stuff that really makes the difference. It's just people don't notice the structural stuff. It's not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has really ripped arms. Like, look at, you see his tricep? It's right here. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's so good. Look at that tricep. Oh my God.
Nerd.
Shut up. You're just feeling insecure about your anatomical skills and you're taking it out on me.
No.
Oh my God. Look at this brachioradialis. It's so good. It's even got a shadow behind it. Yes. If any of you missed it, I did do a stream on arm anatomy. Was that yesterday? Yeah, it was.
Wow. You know, something that really helps with foreshortening, in my opinion, is the shadow and the light. Especially if it's like an overhead light, then anything that's tucked way back will tend to be more in shadow.
Anything that's tucked way back
like
is
this shin
more?
Right, do you see that shin?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I feel like lighting is the cheat sheet to figure drawing, you know? I don't know what's wrong with my toes. They look like tapioca pudding. Sheesh. Oh, I chickened out on the face, Kat.
It's okay. You don't have to do it all at once.
I know, but I don't want to be one of those, like, people that does that.
It's okay. I'm not working on the face until now. It's just so long as you remember to do it, eventually.
You're just remembering because I said something.
No, I was working on it before. People in the chat can tell you that.
Oh, ouch.
The head is too small. I made the head far too small. And since it's digital, I'm just going to resize it.
Now you're just rubbing it in my face. I think my head is too small too.
Man, the head's hard.
It is hard. I feel like the head is like, it's in its own universe. Like it's not connected to anything.
You want to see something satisfying is I'd like to like see what it was before and after. Do you see that?
That should be like an animation or something.
Yeah.
That seems like something my daughter would make. Well, I guess I'm just never going to make something like that with my Conte crayon.
It's okay, Clara. You learned how to animate on Procreate, didn't you?
Learned? More like see and hold my hand through the whole thing. More like Cian said, do this. I'm like, okay, I did it. Now what? And he's like, do this. I'm like, okay, I can do this.
See, now you know how to do it.
I do not know how to do it. I probably would have to follow my own tutorial to figure it out.
You know, sometimes I have like looked back on old tutorials that I have done for art prof and just to like remember some stuff I already taught about.
I do that a lot actually, because I try to like review our growth. We have a question from Kevin. I'm super curious on how art schools get their live models. What are the requirements? What's the procedure of doing a nude live drawing? I want to know. It depends on the school, and I don't know the precise requirements, but honestly, I think you just have to know how to show up, because they don't generally say, it's not like a movie casting call where they can say, oh, we need a person with dark hair that's this high. They don't have anything like that, which I like. I mean, I don't know that I would want that curation for figure models. Like, I'd rather just really know how to draw a bunch of different people. I think what's hard about it is that the pay is not very good, and some models really... Well, it's not the models. Some teachers are not that nice to the models. Did you ever see that, Kat?
No, not really, actually. But I'm...
Or maybe not that they're not nice, but they're just not that appreciative or friendly to them.
Maybe. You know, I never thought about this, but there must be some element of like objectification in figure modeling. I mean... You're not there as a person. You're literally there just to like model your body for artists to draw anatomy, right? And so people maybe might forget that you're a person.
Well, see, I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, most of the figure models that I've interacted with have been longtime figure models in the classes. So they had already like a rapport with the teacher and knew how to like also interact with the students and like look at the drawings and, you know, be friendly and stuff. And since they were such long time models, they were able to get around the school easily. People recognized them. People said hi to them. So that must have helped in their case.
I will say though, Kat, I think being a figure model, it's like being the ultimate fly on the wall. You hear everything that happens in the classroom. And, let's just say I collected some stories from the models at RISD.
Wow.
They knew everything that was going on.
Gossip. How are you feeling about your figure drawing, Clara?
Well, I think I distracted myself from the proportions by doing all the shading. You know, when you're like, la, 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 shading, shadow, everything's fine.
But I think the shadow really adds to the figure. A lot of these little things people don't expect to add to the figure. They think, oh, I need to like get the drawing done. But you know what? The light and the shadow to be able to see the form of the figure is also really important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We've been talking about proportions during the stream, but honestly, the proportions are just one piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would love to see everybody else's figure drawings in the Discord later. Remember to join us in the post live streams channel. The invite link is in the description below. And subscribe to our channel, like our video, leave a comment. We want to get some interaction from you guys and be able to talk to you. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters. Without you all, ArtProf would not be able to exist. And take a look at this, Clara. We are past the work in progress. Wait, we are in the work in progress. Sorry, we're past the middle. The WIP was right in the middle. So I was like, oh, we're past middle. That's great. Which is great, you know. But we do have a goal. So help us reach our Patreon goal. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for tonight. See you next time. Bye.